Tuesday, March 18th. First reading from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 and verses 16 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Make justice your aim. Redress the wronged. Hear the orphan's plea. Defend the widow. Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Haydock Commentary. Jesus spoke to the multitude a few days previous to his passion. It is here observable that our Savior, after he had tried all possible remedies, after he had taught and confirmed his doctrines by innumerable miracles, after he had secretly by his parables reprehended them for their wickedness, but without effect, now publicly upbraids their vices. But before his reprehension of the Pharisees, he instructs the people, lest they should despise the authority of the priesthood. The scribes were those who professed the greatest zeal for the law of Moses, and gloried in being interpreters of it. They sat upon the chair of Moses, succeeded to his authority of governing the people of God, of instructing them in his law, and of disclosing to them his will. Such, therefore, as did not depart from the letter of the law were called scribes. But such as professed something higher, and separated themselves from the crowd as better than the ordinary class of men, were called Pharisees, which signifies separated. God preserves the truth of the Christian religion in the Apostolic See of Rome, which in the New Law answers to the chair of Moses, notwithstanding the disedifying conduct of some few of its bishops. Yes, though a traitor as vile as Judas himself were a bishop thereof, it would not be prejudicial to the integrity of the faith of God's church, or to the ready obedience and perfect submission of sincere, good Christians, for whom our Lord has made this provision when he says, Do that which they say, but do not as they do. So says St. Augustine. He continues, Why dost thou call the apostolic chair the chair of pestilence? Did not Christ commend that chair of Moses, and preserving the honor of the chair, reprove them? For he saith, They have sat on the chair of Moses. All therefore whatsoever they shall say to you, observe and do. These points, if you did well consider, you would not, for the men whom you defame, blaspheme the apostolic see, wherewith you do not hold communion. Neither on account of the Pharisees to whom you maliciously compare us did our Lord command the chair of Moses to be forsaken, for he warned the people to do what they say, and not what they do, and that the holiness of the chair be in no case forsaken, nor the unity of the flock divided, on account of the wicked lives of the pastors. Christ does not tell them to observe everything without exception that the Pharisees should say to them, for many superstitions and false ordinances had obtained amongst them, corrupting the scriptures by their traditions, but only such as were not contrary to the law of Moses. We are taught to obey bad no less than good ministers in those things that are not expressly contrary to the law of God. Hence appears how unfounded and unreasonable is the excuse so often adduced by persons in justification of their misdeeds, namely that they saw their pastors do the same. Such must attend to the rule here given by Jesus Christ. What they say, do, but according to their works, do ye not. By the heavy burdens, some understand in general the ceremonies of the law of Moses. But Christ seems rather here to mean the vain customs, traditions, and additions introduced by the Jewish doctors and by their scribes and Pharisees. They thus greatly increase the burden of others by multiplying their obligation, whilst they will not offer themselves the least violence in observing them or alleviating the burden by taking any share upon their own shoulders. The phylacteries were the pieces or scrolls of parchment on which were written the Ten Commandments or some sentences of the law, which the Jews were accustomed to fasten to their foreheads or their arms to put them in mind of their duty. Thus they interpreted those words in Deuteronomy 6:8, "Thou shalt tie them as a sign on thy hand, and they shall be and move before thy eyes." Perhaps all the Jews and even our Savior himself wore them, and that he only blames the hypocrisy and vanity of the scribes and Pharisees who affected to have them larger than others, and they did the like as to the fringes which the Jews wore on their garments. Rabbi is a title like that of master or doctor. Judas gave it to our Savior, and the disciples of St. John the Baptist called him so. Christ blames their pride and vanity in affecting such titles rather than the titles themselves. One is your master or teacher, who is the Christ, and under him one vicar, the successor of St. Peter, with whom all Catholic teachers are one, because they all teach one and the same doctrine in every part of the Christian world. Whereas in the multiplicity of modern sects, which are every day dividing and subdividing into fresh sects, no two leaders can be found teaching in all points exactly the same tenets, as each is not only allowed but expected to follow his own private spirit and to build his creed upon his own interpretation. Call no one your father. The meaning is that our Father in heaven is incomparably more to be regarded than any father on earth, and no master is to be followed who would lead us away from Christ. But this does not hinder but that we are by the law of God to have a due respect both for our parents and spiritual fathers, see 1 Corinthians 4:15, and for our masters and teachers. Nothing is here forbidden but the contentious divisions and self-assumed authority of such as make themselves leaders and favorers of schisms and sects, as Donatus, Arius, Luther, Calvin, and innumerable others of very modern date. But by no means the title of father, attributed by the faith, piety, and confidence of good people to their directors. For St. Paul tells the Corinthians that he is their only spiritual father. Again, see 1 Corinthians 4:15.